بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Yesterday we discussed about the garment for men, four things we should do. And that kitab also is translated into English, the four actions of the pants, the garment, and the beard, including the mustache also. As Hakim Sahib Rahimahullah discussed, the mustache also, A grade, B grade, C grade. To remove the mustache completely, to use a razor is makruh. Use a machine, then use a scissor. Using a razor or blade on the face, this constitutes mutilation of the skin, which is not permissible, is makruh. So we discussed that, then the protection of the eyes, protection of the heart and the mind. These four things a person will do in this zaman and this period of time. And then Hazrat explains that that person will become the wali of Allah. Allah will make him his friend. Although it's easy, but we know how difficult it is. Person to keep his pants above the ankles, this is because of fashion, and with the correct type of pants, correct garment, according to Sunnah or nearest to Sunnah, keeping a beard also, that will become a fashion statement. How people keep their beard, different styles also. Then we came to the discussion of the hijab of women, hijab, niqab, qurda, and the jilbab. Quran speaks about jalabib. So in detail yesterday we had mentioned the different proofs of Quran and Hadith Sharif. Possibly even ulama ikram in madrasa, we don't go into so much of detail. We just do a bit of tafsir. This Muslim Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah is going to do tafsir, and he pulled out all the different dalail and proofs for this hijab and parda. So continuing with this kitab, the third level of hijab, it is that women go out concealing their bodies. So when they have to leave the house out of necessity, whether it be a human necessity, a natural need, or a shari'i need. So then in that case, it will be permitted to leave the house for that shari'i taqaza or bashari taqaza. Bashari, a natural human need, that do something which only they can do, how they should leave the house also. So Quran explains that, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. So only that which is exposed of the beauty, that they may leave open. But if the fitna increases, then obviously they'll have to cover faces, hands, feet, etc. These parts of their body also they will have to cover. Hence the verse, according to the first explanation, proves that the woman can uncover her face and hands at the time of need. And this is further supported by the following hadith. Narration of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, that is her sister, entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while wearing thin clothing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned away from her and said, "O Asma, indeed when a woman reaches the age of menstruation, meaning when she becomes baligha, when she's of age, it is not proper that anything should be shown except this and this." So he indicated. So everything should be covered besides this and this. And he pointed to his face and hands. This can be exposed according to the fitnas of the time. If things are safe, it's night time, etc. It may be exposed, but not in public view. And he pointed to his face and hands. This is a riwayat of Abu Dawud Sharif. Then the riwayat of Ali radiallahu anhu. In the event of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returning from Muzdalifah, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, his riding companion. So they were returning from Muzdalifah, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made him his riding companion in the same conveyance, and he was a young man. He came to the pillars, meaning the Jamarat, Shayateen, to pull them. So from Muzdalifah, they come into Mina. They're descending from Arafah, Muzdalifah, then to Mina. So he came to the pillars, to the Jamarat, to throw pebbles at them. And then came to the place of sacrifice, the Manhar, which was very near at that time. It is mentioned therein a young slave girl from the Khath'am sought a verdict from him, from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So she approached and said, "Indeed, my father is an old man, and the obligation to Allah to perform Hajj has reached him. Is it permissible for me to perform Hajj on his behalf?" Rasulullah said, "Perform Hajj on your father's behalf." Ali radiallahu anhu said, he turned the neck of Al-Fadl and asked, they turned the neck of Al-Fadl, and Abbas radiallahu anhu was there. So he asked, why did you turn the neck of your cousin? This was the Abbas' son, the uncle, paternal uncle of Rasulullah. So the uncle asked, why did you turn his face away when the girl came? So she was in the haram also. The haram, the women, as you mentioned yesterday, normally they don't the haram, like, sorry, the niqab, not normally how they do it. So she came from the view of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So why did you turn his face away? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I saw a young man and a woman in such a situation that they are not safe from shaitan. The Nabi of Allah is there. And her father is a Sahabi also. That girl also is a Sahabiya. But then she was so careful. The shaitan will still play some tricks. There is some ulama so particular also. When they have to be in a lift and there's a young girl there, then they won't enter the lift. Rather, leave the lift, let her finish, go to her floor, then get in. So they're not alone even for that amount of time with them. Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, I was riding behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning on the same conveyance. And the Bedouin, with whom was a beautiful daughter, began presenting her to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hope that he would marry her. So he said, I began to glance at her. Even in that company also. So it's natural now for this to happen. So we have to train ourselves. So he began to glance at her. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took hold of my head and turned it away. So according to some narrators, either this was another incident or one of the narrators heard in the explanation that the girl belonged to a Bedouin. And the hadith of the Tirmidhi Sharif is clear in that her father was not with her. Allah Ta'ala knows. So there's some variations in the hadith Sharif. Further detail of this event was transmitted by Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali in Kitab al-Istidhan from Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And his wording is as follow, that Al-Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma rode behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his companion rider on the back of his she camel on the day of sacrifice on Nahar, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma was a handsome man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped to give the people verdicts and fatwa and guidance. In the meantime, a beautiful woman from the tribe of Khatam came asking the verdict of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Fadl started looking at her and the beauty attracted him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked behind while Al-Fadl was looking at her. So Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held out his hand backwards and caught the chin, was behind him, caught his chin and turned it away, turned his face away. He caught the chin of Fadl and turned his face to the other side in order that he should not gaze at her. To the end of the hadith is mentioned. The slave girl's face was uncovered, as is clear from the context of the hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas or of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, it is Fadl. Since he said in the hadith therein that she was beautiful, so he saw her. And Fadl was attracted to her beauty. The hadith explains that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned the face of Al-Fadl away from glancing at her, and he did not command the slave girl to cover her face because she was in a state of ihram. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam probably feared that she would collapse or something else if she was required to conceal her face in such severe crowding. So he knew it was her case. Now you might think, now how come she came with the face uncovered? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was aware of her background. The possibility she couldn't take the heat of the summer months also. So based upon need right now, the severe crowding, so he did not command her to do this. This is a proof that it is permissible for a woman to uncover her face according to a need when the rest of her body is concealed. This was a severe need, possibly life and death or health, whatever it may be. Therefore, she was permitted in that case. The third riwayat in regards to the hijab of a woman when she leaves the house. The narrator from Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, that a woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I have come to give you myself in marriage. So she came to offer herself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at her. He looked at her carefully and fixed his glance on her and then lowered his head to the end of the hadith. So hadith ends there. It is clear in this event that the woman's face was uncovered at this time, and Allama Saraqsi rahimahullah has concluded this as a proof in the Mabsud, which is a kitab name, that the face of a woman is not awra. So here also some ulama say this is the beginning of Islam, when the command was just given now. When you leave your house, make sure you cover completely besides your hand, إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, except that which is apparent of your beauty, referring to hands are apparent and they are beautiful, and even the face. So that could be in the beginning of Islam, and slowly they were commanded now to cover completely. So that the face of a woman is not awra. As for the positions of the fuqaha on the permissibility of looking at the face of a woman and her hands, the fuqaha, the jurists, have agreed on the impermissibility when it is with the intention of gratification, taladdud. Person is looking now just to please his nafs, then it's not permissible. Or if there was a fear of temptation inviting the man to be alone with her. So if it is like that now, then in that case now she will have to conceal her face. And we can understand from our situation now, we already passed it already. But they're looking at her now with lust, with the passion, is common. So therefore they have to cover up. And the men will have to control their gazes also. There's no dispute in the prohibition. There's no dispute in the prohibition of looking at the face of a woman and her hands in this case, when there is now the intention to gratify your nafs. Then you cannot look whatsoever. So when the man is safe from temptation and does not desire gratification by looking, there is this agreement over his impermissibility, whether he can look or not. Does that look over the sake of gratification? No, there is ikhtilaf, difference of opinion. The position of the Hanafis and the Malikis is the permissibility of looking at the face and hands in this case, as this is the position of many of the Shafi'is and a few Hanbalis. That is not, there is no shahawat and there is no passion and lust in that case. However, the preferred view according to the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis is absolute impermissibility, even if safe from desire and temptation. In that case also a person should not look. The position of the Hanafis on the ruling of looking at a woman, person going now for samosaran. So we look at samosas to look for a wife. So whether he can look at her or he can't look at her. So what is the position in the Hanafi mazhab? So Shams al-A'imma Saraqsi rahimahullah said in Al-Mabsud, it is permissible to look at the area of apparent adornment, that between ma adhahara minha, as well apparent adornment of women, and not the hidden adornment due to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should not display their ornaments except what appear thereof, meaning their beauty. So Ali ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, what appears thereof, meaning what appears thereof of their beauty and adornment. So Allah Pak says that you don't have to cover. So what does that entail? So this is, refers to kuhul, surma and the ring. Kuhul is in the eyes, a ring on the hand. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said one of her two eyes, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, so her tafsir is one of the two eyes can be exposed. One of the two eyes only. That can be exposed, everything else should be covered. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, her shoes and her outer covering, what do you call it? Jilbab. And he adduced as evidence for this the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, women are the snares, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, nisa'u haba'ilu shaytan, that women are the snares of shaytan by which he hunts men. And since the prohibition of looking is for fear of temptation, and the greater part of her attractiveness is in her face, the fear of temptation in looking at her face is greater than it is when looking at other parts, especially in public. Therefore, the face has to be covered. That is the markaz and the headquarters of beauty. The Aisha radiallahu anha reasoned similarly, but she said if she finds no escape from walking on the road, that she has to go out, has to do some work, sometimes go to the neighbors, whatever it may be, and then it is necessary that she opens her eye to see the road. At least she needs one eye to see the road where she is walking. She's talking about driving. Now, for example, we know The Muslim countries, the kids are always playing outside. So they go to the neighbor's house. So she has to go and get him out from there. So in that case, now she can open one eye or keep one eye exposed to see the road. So it is permissible for her to uncover one of her eyes due to this necessity. This is the riwayat of Aisha radiallahu anha. And what is established by necessity should not go beyond the scope of necessity. That much you can open and do your work and return. However, we the Hanafis adopt the view of Ali and Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, since reports have been transmitted giving a dispensation, meaning some leeway, to look at her face and hands, because there are reports where the face was open and the hands were open. From these reports is what was narrated, that a woman offered herself to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he looked at her face and did not desire her. So from there we deduce that a person doesn't have a desire, then he may look at her face if it is exposed. But here also Hazrat says, it's a very rare case where a person will look and he will not be enticed. He might not be enticed, but then to what he says, yes, she's very pretty. So he's noticing. Hazrat says also, old Baji Mota sitting in the hospital, ICU, he got all the ventilator on also, and he's cold as a deep freeze, but he's still looking at the nurse, calling all the time. So he says, even he also can't do anything. He can't do, but he can look at her. But he's still looking at her. Very rarely now he look after his eyes, he smile at her, he'll thank her, he'll compliment her. He won't tell the wife so much also. So many years the wife looking after him. But he tell the nurse, he tell everybody, the nurses are very good, how they look after you. So he's noticing. So the temptation is still there. And this can also be a blockage for kalima in the time of maut. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said in his khutbah, no, he mentioned in his khutbah, know that you may not go in excess in the dowries of women. He was on the mimbar, Masjid al-Nabwi, giving the khutbah, and he told Sahaba ikram that don't pay excessive dowries. Don't pick it up too high, make it difficult for others. So at that time, the women were at the back of the masjid. They used to come for salah also in his time. So at the back of the masjid, so know that you may not go in excess in the dowries of women. And a woman with flushed cheeks said, so she was there in the back. So she stood up and she said, are you expressing your view using your personal opinion? She challenged him in the khutbah. They knew the fiqh also. So she said that, are you expressing your view using your personal opinion? Or did you hear this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For indeed we find in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the opposite of what you say. The opposite of what you say. Hence the narrator mentioned that she had flushed cheeks. So he saw her. And this contains the clarification that her face was unveiled. It was namaz time. Remember here also you'll find in the fiqh kitabs, they speak about the woman's awra or her parda during salah. So they say during salah that she shouldn't have her face covered, feet can be uncovered, etc. So this is what you will say, the extent that she can expose herself for the sake of namaz within her room, but outside the house. Outside the house, the rules are different. So many people, like some ulama, make this mistake. They take the rules of parda from the chapter of salah, woman's salah within the home. This is seen. They say now during namaz, the face is open, the hands are open, the feet are open, etc. Oh, what's the problem? That's for salah. Out of the house, the masail are different. And as we mentioned now, the masail and the rulings in regards to parda, as the times become more of a trial and fitna, then the rules become more strict naturally. We know it. What is happening nowadays, we have adult men that are attracted to even nabaligh girls, pedophiles. So their minds are off completely. So how careful now the women should be even more when they're leaving the house. So he says that her cheeks were flushed, and this contains the clarification that her face was unveiled. And Rasulullah ﷺ saw the hand of a woman that was not dyed with henna, with mehndi. So he saw the hand and he said, is this the hand of a man? Indicating now that there should be a difference between your hand and the hand of a man. You should put mehndi on your hand, you call it henna. You should put that, so it's a difference between you and a man. So there's one group also, he looked, he saw her hand. And Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha gave one of her two children to Bilal or Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. The Anas said, I saw her hand and it appeared as if a half moon. So he saw the texture and the color of the hand of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she handed over one of the sons to them. It is thus proven that there is no harm in looking at the face and the hands, but the clause over here, restrictive clause, is that there is no enticement, there is no attraction, there is no lazzat and desire. And then in that case, a person may look if he has to. If he has to, then it is permissible. Like a person of Hajj and Umrah is looking for his wife. So in that case, now he can look, there are women there, the faces are uncovered. But here also, as the King Sahib Rahimah is very careful. He says, you're going to pick up your wife from the Mastura Tani program. For example, now there are certain madrasa, certain avenue, and so you're going there, and you parked outside, and you know it's a whole group of women. In that case, it will not be permissible to look at the group. So I'm looking for my wife, but there's only ladies there. Inshallah, she'll find you. They shouldn't park right over there and start looking. And you know, when you're looking for your wife, you look so many other women, and it'll register in the mind also. So, and many a time the youngsters, so they come pick up their sisters from madrasa, or pick up their mothers, and you tell him, but you must look at the faces of women with lust. And he knows how he has to control himself. And you'll see certain girls, certain women, they might not know who she is. But when she jumps in their car, I say, oh, I know that guy's car. So his wife, his daughter. So how much taqwa that young boy will have also. So we can't give open permission. That the faces are unveiled, therefore you can look. The fitnas are too rife right now. So it is thus proven that there is no harm in looking at the face and hands. Furthermore, the face is the site of kuhl, meaning of surma, and the hand is the site of the ring. Moreover, there is no doubt that it is permissible to look at her garment, and fear of temptation is not considered in this, just to see the garment only. And looking at her face and hands is the same. Hassan bin Ziyad narrated from Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh that it is permitted to look at her foot also, as was mentioned by At-Tahawi rahimahullah, because just as she is tried with showing her face in working with men, she has to go out, she's the only breadwinner, and showing her hand in receiving and giving goods. She is tried with showing her feet when walking barefooted or wearing sandals, and she may not find shoes on every occasion when she goes out. It is mentioned in Jami'ul Barmika. It was narrated from Abu Yusuf that it is permissible to look at her forearm also, because in baking and washing clothes she is tried, meaning she is put in a situation for showing her forearms also, like the domestics at home. It was said, similarly, it is permitted to look at her front teeth also, because that appears from her when talking to men. So within the home, there's dawah taking place. Sometimes these women, they're ghair mahram. So when there's a need, when there's nobody else there, but alhamdulillah, we have workers, we have young boys that can serve us, etc. All of this is when looking is not with desire. Now, which person can say, I'm safe? Especially in this zamana period of time, to say, I'm really safe, alhamdulillah, I won't be enticed. Oh, that picture of a face won't sit in my mind. So, it's a trying time for us also. Therefore, it's best that we just refrain completely. For we leave the mas'ala open, that we can imagine the fitna then. Now, as much as we're trying with all the parda, then too, things are still happening. Things are still happening. If you open the mas'ala, then you can imagine those that are there for photography. You say, no problem. We can post our picture everywhere. We can post our pictures everywhere. And the fitnas right now is so much, we can imagine thereafter what will happen. If one knows that if he looks, he will become desirous, then it is not permissible for him to look at any part of her because of his statement. That is the statement of Rasulullah ﷺ, whoever looks at the beauties of a foreign, meaning a strange woman, with desire, melted lead will be poured into his eyes on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala save us. Who can say, I'm safe? And Ali radiallahu anhu said, do not follow up a glance with another glance, for indeed the first is permissible. That is a sudden glance. That is a sudden glance, and a person's eyes just fall there. As you mentioned now, there are a group of women, and I say, I'm looking there, but I'm looking for my wife or my sister or my mother, and suddenly I look. First of all, you weren't supposed to look there. It's not a sudden glance. Sudden glance when she just came in front. And immediately you turn your head away. Some brothers ask also that a sudden glance is permissible, isn't it? You say, yes, it's sudden glance. You say, okay, so that's permissible. So the sudden glance means that your glance fell on her, but they take it to be the sudden glance can last for 2-3 minutes also. Suddenly it happened. So, no guna. No, immediately turn your face away. But just those questions that brother asked already, you can gauge from there that there is desire. That's why he's asking this. There's no desire. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the tarbiyat was made. But then through the women, and together with that, we're not using this statement as encouragement to anybody, but you will find the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this desire as is prevalent nowadays wasn't so much there because they had more than one wife. They had two, they had three. So there was no time now to look at other women. And more than that, they were busy in the qaza of deen. Now, our environment is different also. Our environment is different. And alhamdulillah, we set aside with one wife. But at times you will have in a month. Now, Sahaba Ikram didn't have those situation challenges now. Therefore, 10 days in a month now, we couldn't have any intimacy with a wife. They had a second wife, they had a third wife. So the level of lust and desire wasn't as much as it is now. And even from young age already, our young boys are exposed to these things. And then Hazrat says, even the foods that we are eating, right, is pumped with those type of things in there that creates lust within people. The environments also are like that. The Sahaba Ikram, the environment was absolutely pure and clean. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, whoever looks at the beauties of a strange woman with desire, melted lead will be poured into his eyes in the day of Qiyamah. The Ali radiallahu anhu said, do not follow up a glance, another glance, for indeed the first is permissible for you, that is the sudden glance, and the second is against you. Meaning by the second that one does it intentionally with desire, that's not permissible. And similar is the case if his opinion is that if he looks, he will become desirous because of the preponderant opinion in that thing, the reality of which cannot be known. So meaning now, he says, you will be, a person possibly become desirous. You can't say with certainty, it will happen. It's just like certainty. What they say, not having certainty in a masala of fitna, we take it to be certainty. We're not sure that whether you become desirous, but is a piece of fitna right now, so we take it to be that you will become desirous. And the brother is feeling cold, they can put something off here. Hadisaf is all quite cold, I'll put it in 24, 25 or something. Then we come to the Maliki position. Malikis, we find them more commonly in Morocco, Nigeria, the Allah. Malikis, the Shaykh al-Hadith al Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, this is one of the masterpieces in the Maliki Mazhab. Allah being a Hanafi, Ujazul Masalik. It's a masterpiece in the Maliki Mazhab. And the Maliki Mazhab is very close to the Hanafi Mazhab also. As for the Malikis, their position is what was mentioned by Al-Kharshi in his Kitab Mukhtasarul Khalil. And he says, the aura of a free woman before a strange man is the entire body's aura, even her loose hair and forelock. The loose hair and forelock also is parda. You see the fashion now is wearing the scarf halfway the head. And the hairline is shown, that has become one fashion statement, also a trend, where they leave half the head open. He said that also is part of her aura. So her loose hair and forelock, with the exception of the face and hands, the outside of them and the inside. Furthermore, looking at them, the face and the hands, without gratification and lust, and without the fear of temptation, and without a reason, is permissible even if it is a young girl or young woman. Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, a woman may eat with a non-near relative. A non-near relative, she may eat with a ghair mahram, like a cousin of hers who she can marry, and with her male servant, and she may occasionally eat with her husband and others of those with whom she dines. He says there is permissibility. Remember, they're giving fatwa according to that time. If they were here today, we ask them, you can imagine the fatwa what they will give by. So there's no ways. Look at what is happening right now within families also. Even between mahrams, Allah Ta'ala protect us. Between mahram men and women, the amount of abuse. And it's prevalent, it's happening. Even when it comes to the in-laws relations, nasaba wa sihra. Sihra, in-law relations. And it's happening nowadays. Whether it's mother-in-law, son-in-law, father-in-law, daughter-in-law. Allah protect, it's happening. So we can imagine how the fatwa will change. Saddan li ba'ab al-fitna is the term we use in fatwa to close the door of fitna. Something may be permissible, but now the fitna that has emerged from this, so what we'll do, we'll say no ways. We can't even be together anymore because there's no more restrictions. Now the breaks of taqwa have failed completely. So therefore they say not permissible. Even though it may be permissible from hadith and Quran, but based upon the fitna level, they say not permissible. Furthermore, looking at them, the face and hands without gratification and without fear of temptation and without a reason is permissible, even if it is a young woman. This is the view of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. And then he says about eating with the persons, غير mahram, is it permissible? Ibn Qattan said, this contains proof of the permissibility of the woman showing her face and hands to a strange man, since it is not conceivable to eat except in this manner, that is by showing the face and the hands. Not conceivable. And we open this fatwa, my dear brothers. That even those of us now, that are but, what do you say, modest or reserved, it's permissible. So in public they can open their hands and face because they've got to eat with their open face and hands. Then we can imagine, eat, they will eat at home. Chickens will be full. Take the whole family and go. And you know, when you are a young man and if you have to eat out somewhere, most of the time you're looking at your plate. Looking who's there in the takeaway. Who's there in the takeaway. And many things happen thereafter. So we can imagine this zamana also. Allah shukr, those that go there also with some level of parada, they're eating with their parada on also. This is the ideal situation. Either an equivalent passage text is found in Sharul Muwaq al-Hattab. Hazrat Aisha said, or Hazrat Ali said in Minhajul Jalil, Minhajul Jalil, and thus it is permissible for a woman to uncover the face and hands before a strange man, and he may look at them if he does not fear temptation. If temptation is feared, then Ibn al-Marzuq said, the well-known position and fatwa of the Mazhab in the Maliki, among the Malikis, is the obligation to conceal them. If the fitna is there, then it's obligatory for her to conceal herself completely. Then Hazrat goes into the Shafi'i position also. Now the Shafi'i position, we find that what is happening, they have packages for Hajj and Umrah. They have a whole group of women, 20, 30, and one Muallim. One Sheikh, one Imam is taking them. We find it commonly from Malaysia. Whole group of women. And they got one Muallim sitting with them outside Masjid al-Nabi, and is giving them bayan. And they got a whole group of ladies also. So how that is happening? Whether they're going from Cape Town also, whole group of women. So what is the Shafi'i position in regards to this? The position of the Shafi'is is what was mentioned by Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh in Kitab al-Nikah from Al-Minhaj. In his statement, he says it is prohibited for a mature male to look at the awra of a mature, strange, free woman. Why do you say free opposite to a slave girl? Slave girl is a bit laxed. So prohibited for a mature male to look at a strange, the aura of a strange free woman. And similarly, it is prohibited to look at her face and hands when one fears temptation. And also when safe from temptation according to the correct opinion. Then he may look for the Shafi'i. Al-Khatib said below in his statement, according to the correct opinion in the Shafi'i Mazhab, an Imam Al-Juwayni reasoned that the Muslims are in agreement on banning women from emerging while their faces are unveiled. The Shafi'i Mazhab. They are banned from emerging while their faces are unveiled, and he reasoned that looking is the act in which one would most expect temptation and the stirring of desire. It will lead to that. Nobody can guarantee and say that men will look at me and they will not be enticed and stirred up. We don't know which men. So you cannot say with certainty that everyone will be safe from me as a woman. And the second view is that it is not prohibited. And Imam Al-Juwayni attributed this to the majority, Jumhur of the Shafi'is. The majority said that it is permissible. And the two sheikhs, Imam Nawawi and Rafi, attributed it to most of the Shafi'is, say it's permissible. Al-Isnawi said in his kitab that it is a correct view because most have adopted it, meaning that she can emerge now without her face being covered. Al-Balqini said, giving way to tarjih, to one opinion depends on the strength of the reason and the proof. And the verdict is given according to what is in Al-Minhaj, that which the Imam transmitted regarding agreement on banning women. What he says, that they are banned, that is the rulers banning them from emerging while their faces are unveiled. Conflicts with Qazi Iyaz related from the ulama, that it is not obligatory on the woman to conceal her face along the path. And that is only a good practice, sunnah. And it is obligatory on men to lower their gaze from them because of the verse that they should lower their gaze. So this is true. If they have to emerge now when their face is unveiled, then the command will apply to the man that lower your gaze. Here Hazrat says also that if she has to emerge without her veil and parda, and he has to also look at her and don't lower his gaze, then very humorously Hazrat says that if she has the brights on, and she has, and he has his brights on, and they don't dim their lights, then you have a head-on collision. Head-on collision, and most probably your front grill also will get damaged. You will have a problem there. But she dims her lights also, and you dim your lights, you can pass safely, no problem. So in this way also, they say that he should lower his gaze. One of the latter-day ulama, the Mutaakhirin, latter-day ulama, said there is no conflict in that. Rather, they being banned from that is not because concealing the face is obligatory on them in essence, rather because there is general benefit in it. Benefit in what? They cover the face. There is benefit for everyone. Everyone is safe. And in leaving the ban is an infringement on honor. Here ends the statement of Al-Isnawi. The outward purport of the statement of the true sheikhs is that concealing the face is obligatory in itself. So the need for this reconciliation does not arise. The statement of our Qazi is weak. You go into the whole fiqhi discussion and the humbly position also. We'll just go quickly. We just have four or five pages left. The position of the Hanbalis. Hanbali mazhab we find most in the Arab countries, in Saudi, etc. They are Hanbalis basically by mazhab. So the position of the Hanbalis is what was mentioned by Ibn Qudama al-Mughni, rahimahullah, in Kitab al-Nikah. In his statement, he says, as for men looking at a strange woman without a reason, for no reason whatsoever, he's just looking at her, it is prohibited entirely according to the apparent statement of Ahmad and Al-Qadi Abu Ya'la. He says, it is prohibited for one to look at anything besides the face and hands because this is awra. And it is permitted for him to look at her with karaha, meaning that is makruh, when safe. When safe, it's still makruh to look at her. From temptation, he says from temptation, and the look is without desire, then to makruh. This is the position of Imam Shafi'i also, in support of Imam Shafi'i, in support of Abu View, is Allah Ta'ala's statement that when you ask of them anything, meaning Azajum wa Tahara, ask also fit behind the parda. Fasaluhum mi wara'i hijab. So look at that now. Even they also, there was no desire. But then to ask of them or from them from behind parda. You're talking about Sahaba. And Azaj Mutaharat, then to ask them from behind the parda. As for the hadith of Asma radiallahu anha, if it is authentic, it is possible that it was before the revelation. When she entered upon Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, she was uncovered. So it's a possibly that happened when the Quran, the parda wasn't revealed as yet. So then we'll understand it accordingly. By considering these four positions, it is clear that they all agree on the prohibition of looking at the face of a woman with the intention of gratification or when there is a fear of temptation. The preponderant view in the madhab of the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis is its prohibition when safe from temptation also. To also say, if you're safe from temptation, then you may look. The Hanafis and Malikis only allow it with the condition of safety from temptation and the intention of gratification. Meeting this condition is very difficult. To put this clause, now no temptation, who can say I'm free from that? Nobody can say I'm free from temptation. So, possible to say that completely. Hanafi, the Malik is only allowed to condition, you know, meeting this condition is very difficult, particularly our age, in which corruption has become prevalent to the degree that it has become a condition that almost cannot be met in most situations. And for this reason, the latter day ulama from the Hanafis prohibited absolutely. And we see it also. When you're traveling anywhere, even at the shops, there's no need to talk to that cashier. But the men will talk to her. And sometimes their names and call these girls also. Are you Dolly, baby, sweetie? Sometimes the teller, they go to the bank, now they want to be charming with her. So some men are very confident. They'll call all the sweet names, which they won't call the wife also. But they'll call these names. There's no need for you to be sweet with her. But they talk to her. And when you're going on the plane also, how many men also, especially go to the back to talk to the air hostess? You got no work with her. Now it's become like a fashionable thing. Alright, ask her where she's flying to, where she's going, where she's from, I used to talk to her. No, remember one flight to a youngster also. And in the whole flight, he was trying to talk up the hostess. Maybe about 4 or 5 hours. Youngster also sitting right in the front. And he was from certain subcontinent. And he was charming them with his American accent. So they asked, where are you from? I said, from Pakistan. And then, how you know English? And then he was chuffed. I learned American English online to all the gamers, because we all communicate. And then he went into this movie, and this one, and that one, and they were thrilled also. But end of the day, you have to get off the plane, but you're not going to see them again. So he wasted 4 hours of his time, he should have slept at least. But he didn't get one phone number also, nothing he was going to get. But they had him rolling also, bichara, and then he had to leave after that. But look at the temptation. For that 4 or 5 hours, the amount of zina of the eyes, and he was so happy chatting to them, and there was no need to. But it's become a common thing now, it's become an absolutely common thing. Within the home also, you should be so careful with the domestics. So the latter day ulama, from the Hanafi, is prohibited completely. Its reprehensibility, the karahat being makruh, was transmitted by in Ad-Durr al-Mukhtar, which is a Hanafi kitab. He's mentioned the one fears desire or has doubts. His fears, desire, has doubts, looking at her face is prohibited. And thus the permissibility of looking is conditional on the absence of desire, and otherwise it is prohibited. This was in their time. As for our time, Hussani rahimullah and others prohibited looking at the face of young girls except when looking is due to a need, like when a judge and witness over her. She comes in the court now, so you have to give witness, this is the woman. In that case, now she'll have to reveal herself. In that case, now the judge may look at her out of necessity. Al-Hastafi said in Shurutus Salah, this is a kitab, and it is prohibited for a young woman to uncover the face among men, not because it is awra, but for fear of temptation. This is a letter to the ulama. So they understood already the amount of temptation there, not because it is farz upon her, but because men will be tempted. Therefore, cover yourself. And he said in Babu Ta'azir, the master may reprimand his slave and the husband his wife if she does not beautify herself. The slave may, the master may reprimand his slave girl and the husband may reprimand his wife if she does not beautify herself. Till he comes to this statement, or she uncovers her face before a non-close relative, he may reprimand her. If she has to open her face up to a non-near relative, meaning a ghair mahram, then he has a right to reprimand her. Fuqaha have written this in the kitab, that she should not open her face. Imam Abu Bakr al-Jassah said in the Hikam al-Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they should cast the jilbabs over their persons. Yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. In this verse is an indication that the young woman is commanded to conceal her face from strange men and to display the concealment and modesty when going out so that suspicious people do not desire them. My father, Mr. Taqi Sahib says, the barakat, my father, Allama, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, said in his Ahkam al-Quran, He says, he quotes, and by this explanation we offered, the texts and narrations that are apparently contradictory are in agreement. As you know from what we cited to you of the verses and narrations, that some of them allow uncovering the face and hands either with certainty and conviction. Like the hadith of Fadl ibn Abbas, according to Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, and the hadith of Asad bint Abu Bakr in Sunan Abu Dawood, and the hadith of the one who offered herself for marriage, according to Imam Bukhari, and other narrations like them, and some of the verses and narrations allow it as a possible interpretation due to the disagreement that occurred between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So, instead of now conflict of narrations, etc. So they, based on that, they say that she can reveal herself. So he says in the explanation of Allah Ta'ala's statement, except what appeared thereof. So the apparent beauty, that she may reveal it. So because of all of these different narrations that back it up, that the face is open, the hands are open, and some fuqaha see it was open, so that she can expose it, etc. So based upon all of this, as I say, the details of which are passed, and some of the verses and narrations prohibit uncovering the face and hands and strange men looking at them. Like the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they stay in your houses. Why the command is given? The command shouldn't have been given because they can go out. Why stay in your house? It shows that staying in your house means to cover yourself completely. It's the final command. Then ulama say that this command actually means this is the original parda. That if you have to go out, if it was possible, then the command would have been given. Just as the four walls of your house is your parda, now you need to go somewhere. So the command would have been to take your house and go. Take your house and go. Because you're so protected in there. But obviously you can't take it unless you're living in a caravan maybe. So you can't take the four walls. So dress up in such a way as if you have your four walls around you. That is safe for you and for the men around you. So that would have been the original command. So that says over here, Allah Ta'ala says, that stay in your houses. Allah Ta'ala says that ask them from behind a veil. And then Allah Ta'ala says also they should cast the jilbabs over there themselves completely, according to the explanation of majority of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except what appear thereof of the beauty, according to the explanation of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where they should cover themselves completely, only one eye open. Thus these texts of the book, these ibarat and narrations of the sunnah, apparently conflict and contradict, and in what we have mentioned to you, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this problem is resolved. There's no contradiction. For when you realize that what we said, will understand that all these texts are in agreement in meaning, well coordinated in the rulings, and all of them are in effect muhkam, solid, and not abrogated. But a particular ruling is preconditioned by conditions. So wherever the conditions are met, it is made permissible. And whenever they are not met, they are permissible. What is the condition? That she can unveil herself. There is no fear of fitna and temptation. Then she can unveil. Or can we say with certainty? There will be no temptation either. And now she is dwelling herself up also? No. You can't say if all the people are invited, then nobody will stare at her. Nobody will open their eyes at her. We cannot say that. Because we know what it is now. Even brother-in-law, sister-in-law also. It happens. The other sister also eating together. And somehow it happens that the brother-in-law is always more charming. And the sister-in-law, unfortunately, the jokes that his wife doesn't laugh at, that he makes, sister-in-law laughs at his jokes. Tell the wife, see, everybody laughs at my jokes. You don't laugh at my jokes. And what the wife will say is nothing funny. But everybody else will laugh at his jokes. And he becomes like a charmer to them. And moreover, if he's not married, and she's there also, then everything starts from there. We come to a conclusion of the kitab, inshallah, and all of this is in the reality of the difference between the explanations of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma and Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is conceded. Our teacher, the noblest of teachers, as the Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi, his ma'ala Ashraf Ali Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi, said in a volume devoted to this subject, قال إلقاء السكينة في تحقيق إبداء الزينة. The Tamil Kitab. With regards to Parda, That there is no difference between the explanations upon an in-depth close examination, since the phrase what appears, this is the main clause, Quran Sharif, that they may not expose their beauty except that which is apparent and open. So that what is apparent and open, what does it entail? So this is a whole where the ulama have difference of opinion, that this they can leave open. Allah Pak says, consider everything else. What is apparent of her beauty, she can leave open. This is where the whole contention comes now. What is considered to be the apparent beauty that is left open naturally, so as it came before, her hands and her face. That is where now ulama have this ikhtilaf and difference of opinion. So the Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, that there is no difference between the explanations upon an in-depth and close examination, since the phrase what appears of her beauty externally, although it was explained by Ibn Abbas as the face and hands, but what is cited in the exception in the verse is on the morphological pattern of zuhur, passive appearance, and not izhar, active showing. Brother Zawik, so this clearly indicates that the objective of the verse is making an exception of what cannot be concealed. What you cannot conceal, then that you can keep it open. Talking to the woman, what you cannot conceal, then you can leave it open. Now what can not be concealed, what is that? That she can leave that open of her beauty. Rather, it is an exception when adornment appears upon exertion and work. It is an exception when adornment appears, when her beauty becomes apparent upon exertion and work. Understand that? That means she's modeling. That which now of your beauty, which is the face and the hands, at the time of her working and exerting herself, was difficult for you to conceal, now that you can leave open. Understand the clause? Though? So what is naturally usually left open is the face and the hands. Doesn't mean that without any restrictions you can leave it open. It can be left open when you are doing some work. It won't have to cover your face now. So the time of exertion and work without an intention to show. What's happening now? The intention is to show. Intention is to show. And you, only men complain. Only time you dress up is when you're leaving the house. It was in the house, Samira Kaftan. Then you don't dress up. Only you dress up when you're leaving the house. So this is the problem. So he says that exception now where she can leave the outer beauty opened and not concealed when exertion, work, and there's no intention to show, because harm may be inflicted upon them, the men or the women, by concealing the face and hands upon exertion and work. In this case, the exception would also be in accordance with the explanation of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, which is the face and the hands may appear, may be left open due to a need. She's working now. She's working in a shop. She's a breadwinner. There's no other way to do the work. And this does not contradict the statement of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. I say, and this meaning is supported by what Ibn Kathir said in his explanation of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should not display their ornaments and beauty except what appear thereof apparent. They should not reveal any part of their beauty to strange men except what they are unable to conceal at the time of exertion and work. The upshot is that a woman is commanded in the Quran Sharif to stay in her house. That's the main thing. For them to stay in the house. That is a parda. Then when you're coming out now, then the way you should be concealed, like how you conceal in your house. Then nobody knows who's behind that parda also. And not emerge except when there is a need. Moreover, if she were to emerge due to a need, then she is commanded to conceal the face by donning the jilbab or burqa, and in a manner that she does not unveil her face. Yes, there are two situations that are exemptions or exceptions to this. First, the situation of needing to show the face, because concealing it would inflict harm upon her, as in a large crowd, or for another need like providing testimony. Second, her face becomes exposed unintentionally during exertion and work. Men are commanded in these two situations to lower the gaze. So when it does happen to her, So she has to uncover her face, then the men are commanded to lower their gazes. Now she's traveling, for example, when she's traveling, she's in the plane. Now she's not going to open her face, but she needs to eat. So she put her parada up maybe, or from under the parada. So there's a time now for the men not to look now, who the apa is. Now, let her eat now at least. Give her a chance, set the time to stay at her. So she's traveling, she's going out somewhere with her husband, so there's a time now, there's exertion on her now, how am I going to eat, or how am I going to change the baby's diaper also. Now you know she's going to move over the child. Or the parada comes in front, so sometimes she needs to lift it up, and now you're looking at her. Right, like how one Mufti Bashir Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, at one time Hazrat was at home, so Mufti Bashir Sahib came to Hazrat and he was very humorous also. So he says one time when he was teaching in the Muslim school, so an apa came to lay a complaint. So he said, I was sitting there in the office, so she entered, so she lay a complaint. There's certain now muallim there, the way he stays at her. So Mufti Sahib called it Muallim. So she, as he's walking also, he's still looking at her. So she was a parda. So she said, Sahib, you saw him, what dirty eyes he has. Take the seven oceans water, won't clean his eyes also. Then the seven oceans water won't clean his eyes, he's so dirty. So just now also in an Islamic environment. So we can imagine now, in the Islamic environment, the amount of fitna is prevalent nowadays. So, conclusion is, first is the house is the parda. When they're leaving, they completely, they should, in fact, when Abdul Haysab Rahimullah has written a kitab also, leaving the home, no perfume, no jewelry, no anklets, nothing shiny, no heels, no tuk-tuk sound, it attracts people's attention. Soft soul, flat soul. All that she wants to do it at home, no problem. Then she can model at home the whole day. Husband will be too happy, alhamdulillah. Not only leaving the house. Not only leaving the house to be dressed up like that. But we know, the women leave the house and they want to be dressed up. But that's not the time to dress up. The time to dress up is within the house. And then also is mentioned in different riwayat, the person who wears clothes of pride. She bought the certain garb, garment, shoe, parda, scarf, whatever it is now to show off. To show others. So the intention was that. Oh, she's wearing that garment to show others. Then the day of Qiyamah, they said this garment will turn into fire. Because you're doing it for pride. So most of the time when they're buying something, I'll wear it on that occasion when I'm going there, and nobody else must have it. So what's the niyat already? So we're already purchasing for them the garments of Jahannam. Allah protect us. So this should be worn within the home. Then this should be dressed now, smart enough for the husband. So he's also excited to come back home. Yes, the husband has to understand also, she got so many children to look after, then she's not going to have the energy and strength also. So Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. To understand and to make amal, inshallah. Take any questions, brothers? It is all clear, inshallah. So this is just one period.